Thank you, Minister. We will start the next 10 minutes.
That's fine. Thank you.
I want to ask to start our meeting because we know that within 20 minutes I declare the meeting officially open and I welcome the minister to unveil himself to the committee on petition and executive undertaking. You are welcome, minister, and our agenda today is only one item where the minister is going to give us back a report on the undertaking that was before us in the parliament. Remember that is the during the sitting of the 24 May 2023. So we want to hand over to the minister to give us a report and then we can engage if there is anything that we need to comment or the questions. Over to you, minister.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just want to firstly thank you for this exchange, but secondly to also note that the information you require was also requested by Honourable Masondo on the 26th of June, and on the 2nd of August we wrote a letter to Honourable Masondo recording virtually the same things we're going to say now. And then we received your invite on the 20th of October to present the same information. I'm not sure whether you have those letters with you, but I'll quickly go through a presentation we've developed, which gives you more insight. And I'll take note of the time limitations that we actually have. So I have a colleague who's going to manage the presentation. So next slide, please. So I think there's a technical problem, but can you hear me, Chairperson?
Yes, we can hear you. The presentation,
okay.
I think, is on
your
screen.
Okay. Until we sort out that technical problem, let me take you through the key issues. So those are the five things that we were requested to address. Next slide, please. So transmission development plan, there is a plan that ESCOM now has that is required to update every year. And part of that plan is to eventually, over the, according to them, in a 10-year period, construct some 14,000 kilometers of the transmission grid. And if we do it over 10 years, and if the funding needs to come from Eskom itself, then the cost, as you can see on that table, will be some 247 billion rands. And you can see how the allocations are in terms of each of the provinces. But currently, what we are looking at is, as a government, how do we accelerate investments in the transmission sector? And this will be related to the creation of the transmission company, which I'll come to in a moment. And the way in which we can get the mobilization of further capital, not just from Eskom, but from outside Eskom as well, in order to speed up the process of making sure that we get the transmission grid going faster. You know, the next slide then addresses the roadmap for the restructuring of Eskom. And you'll recall that that roadmap, which was adopted by Cabinet in late 2019, required that Eskom be restructured into a generation, transmission, and distribution company. And if you read this in connection with the ERA bill that is before Parliament at the moment, there will also be further changes where part of the transmission component, in an appropriate way, there will be firstly a so-called buying office, but the systems operator who manages the relationship between supply and demand will also be part of that process as well. So the whole industry will be undergoing changes legislatively and technically in the next 6 to 9 months, but it will take many more years for this to actually bed itself down. So if you look at this slide, this refers more directly to the restructuring of Eskom. So the only reservation I want to point out to you is number one. The one legal view is that you need a new holding structure for Eskom, but that legal view is currently being interrogated, and alternate legal views are being sought, so that we'll have to see whether special legislation is required or not, and we should have that pretty soon so that we can get some clarity in that particular regard. But together with that, as we know, the state will remain the 100% shareholder as far as each of the entities is concerned, and there's no change as far as that is there. So if you look at the next slide, it sets out some of the deliverables that in terms of the roadmap, which has been in progress since March 2020, but of course that was the era or period of the COVID pandemic as well. So firstly, we refer to the divisionalization. Secondly, the real linking is about saying lots of people were brought into head office, but we need many of those technical experts to be assigned in some way together with the particular functions to the power station level, and a lot of that has been achieved. Functional separation, which is the next line, refers to a pre-legal separation of responsibilities for transmission, generation, and distribution, and internal boards were actually set up to undertake that. Then there's the question of legal separation that will follow in terms of the ERA amendment bill, and the setting up of the transmission company, which will also have an internal board at one level, but we are almost complete in in the process of setting up a proper independent board for transmission as well, and that should hopefully happen within the next few weeks if we get all our acts together. This continues on the next slide, where number three refers to the restructuring of the distribution, and in this regard, TFMA consent has been given both by the Minister of Finance and by the Minister of Public Enterprises as far as approving the process of setting up the distribution unit. But what we still have to interrogate, particularly given the erratic payment levels that we have in South Africa, the financial and business model for distribution and its sustainability and viability over a period of time. And then you can see that, number four is the holding company, which, as I said, we're getting new legal views on that as well. And then the next element is looking at generation and how we manage generation. There's further information in relation to transmission, which basically says that we are on track as well as setting it up as a company, and the fact that it'll be a wholly incorporated entity, wholly owned by Eskom Holdings. NERSA has approved the transmission operating and saving licenses and the import-export licenses. That was holding us up for quite a while, but we now have both those licenses issued by NERSA to Eskom, and that no longer holds back the process. But an important element as we restructure Eskom is that Eskom, as you know, has this huge debt at a central level, so to speak. And before we can decide what percentage of that debt goes to, say, distribution or transmission or generation or remains within the top structure, we have to get the consent of the people who bought bonds and who have provided funds or lent funds to Eskom, those are the lenders that we are talking about, and let them understand where we're going, but also get their consent that they will not be concerned if we move in that direction. So six out of seven groups of lenders have been consulted by Eskom to date, and there's a reasonably positive approach, but we need to provide more clarity and speed so that we can take the lenders on board in this particular regard as well. The next slide looks at the legal separation of the transmission business, and you can see that the NERSA licenses were approved. The permit or permission that we required from DMRE has also been obtained. I made reference already to the board of directors, and I've mentioned the electricity regulation and amendments that are before Parliament, which changes the structure of the electricity industry in South Africa. On the distribution side, which is the next slide, we have the functional separation. Then we and as I said, approved idea that such a company can in fact be set up and registered with the company's office, which has been done. All the PFMA applications, as I indicated, have been approved by the two ministers. And the key is to look at their financial and business models so that we are convinced that this is a viable and sustainable way forward as well. And finally, there's the issue of the generation business. And here again, similar processes will be followed as with the others. There were questions in relation to Kuba, and that's the next slide. And Essentially, Coburg has two units, each of which produces over 300 megawatts. And the first of the units has been going through a life extension program, which would enable the power station and that unit to operate for 20 more years. And there's a very technical process through which this is going. However, there's been at least a 3 to 4 month delay as a result of disputes on the one hand between the project management company, which is called Framatome, and Eskom, and in some instances where Eskom hasn't delivered what it's supposed to deliver as well. So when the first unit is fully installed and completed, a similar process needs to be followed as far as the second unit is concerned as well, which takes us well into next year. So the argument here is that in the second bullet point, that the unit one of the Coburg power station will be returned to service by November, which is next month, and that's around the corner. And then just as that unit comes online, the other unit will go through the change process as well. And all of this is linked to the license that Coburg has at the moment, and it expires in July 2024, and we need to ensure that there's no licensing problem as far as both the units are concerned. So I think the approach Eskom is trying to use is to say, if we get one unit through, we want the regulator to approve that, and then we will take the second unit off, which will mean that you will lose, you'll basically gain 900 odd megawatts, but you'll lose 900 megawatts as well, so you end up in the same position as one unit working at the end of the day. Then there were questions in relation to the Kusile unit, and you can see what is set out here. Unit 1 returned to service in October, Unit 3, 8th of September, Unit 2 by the 30th of November, and Unit 5 by the 30th of December. Unit 6 is scheduled for synchronization on the 31st of July 2024. But there's efforts being made to make sure that if we can save time and not extend it that far, then time should be saved as well. Merupi Unit 4 is where there was an explosion, and the target date there is also 31st of July 2024. But the efforts will be made to ensure that we attend to some of these things sooner rather than later. On the question of the municipal debt relief package, there have been quite significant advances in the cigar. The National Treasury, through the Minister of Finance, announced the municipal arrears debt write-off if municipalities are paying their current invoices, so to speak, from Eskom. And if there is that kind of compliance over the period of a year, then there's certain write-offs of the debt that these municipalities have to Eskom. But it's only if the current account is paid into Eskom, and if that is sustained. If there's a hiccup of any kind, then that particular kind of agreement will not work, because we'll end up into a dispute of one kind or another. So the way this works is that various municipalities will apply for this program. Secondly, they must prove their bona fides by paying the current account or current debt that they are owing Eskom. And thirdly, if they pay the current debt for a long enough period and this is consistent with what the Treasury requires, then the benefit for the municipality itself is that it could be a write-off of one-third of the debt or even two-thirds of the debt as well. So there's a quid pro quo as opposed to the kind of approach that municipalities take. So to date, I think some 20-odd municipalities have applied for this debt relief program, and nine municipalities are compliant, 13 have not paid current accounts in September. So if there's a non-payment for 1 or 2 months, then they begin to, the municipality will get into trouble and will not be entitled to any debt write-off at the end of the day. So these are very, this is a very detailed account of what I've just actually told you, and an indication that more and more municipalities are looking at the scheme. So, Chair, I can just run through very quickly the key issues that have arisen and that appear in your letter, so that we have a few minutes if honourable members want to ask any questions of clarity. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister, for your presentation. Your brief presentation. I want to check whether there are questions from the members, because we've got the report before. They did go through the report, and if there is anything that they want to raise or any comment, they can come in. I don't see any hands.
Do you want to answer?
Oh, okay, I can see your hands up. And our question must be based on what has been presented, because it's the undertaking for the 24th of May 2023. It must not be on that. So you can come in, Honorable Vanessa.
Chair, thank you very much. My question relates to the generation side. Minister, thank you very much for the presentation to our committee this morning. It's much appreciated. We appreciate your time. My question is regarding the generation side, and it's not specifically, I apologize to speak to your presentation, but it bears quite a bit of importance. There's quite a bit of gas, excess gas, that's going to waste at the Petro SA plant in Mossel Bay at the moment, and should that gas be used in turbines to generate electricity? And I know that Eskom has these plans on the generation side to supply the Gariqua power plant in Mossel Bay and the Ankerlich power plant station in Advantage. That will be quite a significant saving to Eskom. I think the percentage that's been bandied around is 28% savings to Eskom, and a reduction of our carbon footprint by as much as about 35%. When will this actually happen? Because I know it's plans of Eskom. But can you maybe let us know when this will happen? If you haven't got the information at hand, Minister, it's not a problem. You can maybe just reply in writing at your leisure. It would be much appreciated. Thank you very much.
No, thank you, Honourable Badenhorst. I don't have the timing issue before me in detail, but what is required is that the diesel-orientated plants at Gariqua and Ankerlich need to be converted to use gas. So I'm not sure how far that conversion is. At the moment, it's, as you know, using a fair amount of diesel. And the case that you make in terms of carbon footprint is well understood. But I'll have to check on the detailed questions about the conversion of the plant and access to gas. There are also other projects. One is the Chitsubete that should come online. can't say tomorrow morning, but in due course, once the various contracts and deals have been made. But I think the DMRE is also going to make certain pronouncements on the usage of gas as well. So it's a point well made by yourself, and we'll try and see what information we can get for you. Thank you very much.
If I may, just as a follow-up, thank you, Minister, thank you for that. If it's possible, if I can get a reply from you from your office in writing, it's okay.
I think you want to make a follow-up question to the Minister.
Sorry, Chair, if I may, I just want to ask if the committee gets the reply in writing from the Minister's office, would be much appreciated.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
you
thank
can
you.
Do that.
We'll try and comply with that.
Okay. I don't think there's other questions that are available. I don't see any hands. Honorable members, there is anyone maybe who wants to speak? If there is no other question or any comment, and the minister already responded. And the minister already responded to the question of Honorable Badenos. I want to thank you, everyone who present, honorable members, and the minister to present himself over the committee today, that we can get the full brief detailed report for the undertaking that was raised on May 2023 on the 24th. Minister, we appreciate your availability to come and present the report to the committee. I think if there is no other comment or any question, I want to declare our meeting adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Recording stopped.